first Sunday of the year. Lord, you've been so faithful in blessing this group, being with these people throughout 2017. And as we enter into a new year, Lord, this is a very, very good time for us to just imagine a little bit about what you may be doing through this group. And how will you continue to lead this group to where you want this group wants to be? And I pray, Father, that you will help us to be excited, to be imaginative, because you know, you are that kind of God that can always surprise your people. But there's one thing that is always in constant, and that is you never change. And it is because of your faithfulness that we are here this morning in your name, and our heart's desire is to worship you. Father, as we take the time to ponder about what you have just told us, may we find strength, may we find encouragement, and most importantly, may we be reminded once again, just like what you have done in the past, you will continue to be with us, whether through thick or thin, you will continue to lead, and you will continue to provide whatever that is needed so that we will have enough, more than enough, to follow you. And we just want to give you thanks for everything that you have done. And pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. We have already entered into a new year, even though this is not the first day of the year. Sometimes, you know, I can't remember which year now, sometimes we get to have our first service in a new year right on the first day of that year, but this year is not so. But this is also, nonetheless, this is the first Sunday of 2018, which is just as good, because when we think about a new year, it reminds us of a new chapter, a new beginning, a fresh start, and whatever word or adjective you can add to it, it gives you some kind of excitement. I don't know, maybe some of you're still on your holiday. You're still in the holiday mode. You're not sure what is going on, but at the same time, you're happy that you have some days off, or maybe you just start, you know, entering into your workforce. You know, those of you who work, you know, you just have a few days of work instead of the full week of work because of 25th, 26th. So no matter what the case, I think, you know, the first Sunday of the year, it's a good time for us to do a little imagination, okay? I'm not going so far to ask you to make goals. I know, you know, some of you don't believe in goals, you know, because you have very, very bad experience. You have set certain goals for yourself, and then you just fall flat, you know. Not even entering into February, you're already done. So I'm not go that far, but I think, you know, when I was preparing this message, I was thinking to myself, even though we may not be setting new goals, but I think it deep in our hearts, or deep in our mind, we want to see some improvement, right? We want to see a little improvement than 2017. Whether it is your work, your school, your relationship, your time, or your money, your ambition, I think I'm right to say that you're not satisfied with where you are. Certain areas of your life, or it may not be all the areas of your life, you know, but the areas that only you know in your life, you want to see a little improvement. Let's not talk about so much, just a little bit. And I want to add that to that, to what I just said too. What about your relationship with Jesus in 2018? Would you like to see a little improvement in that as well? So that, you know, you will be able to experience God a little bit different, or you'll be able to come across Jesus different than what you have already known, what you have already been taught in the past. So this is where I'm coming in, and I want to make a suggestion to you. And I know that, you know, you may have certain goals or certain things you want to achieve in the physical part of your life. So where I'm coming from is I want to make a suggestion to help you to be a little bit imaginative, you know. Just think about what your relationship will look like in 2018 with God. As you continue to walk with Him, how that relationship can be a little bit different a little bit more exciting or a little bit more adventure than what you have already had so far. And my suggestion to you is work hard to be a doer of God's word. And that is why I get the title, you know, do what it says. I want to encourage you, I want to encourage me to be a doer of God's word in 2018. If you know something, I'm sure that you know you have already looked at this passage before. So you know that in that passage, James is talking about listening or hearing the word of God is not enough. It's not enough. Even though Paul said, you know, faith comes from the hearing of God's word. Okay, it's from the book of Romans. But James is saying that hearing is good, but hearing alone or listening alone is not good. You need to do more. You need to be a doer of the word, not the hearer of the word. And that is why I want to do a little exploration of the text. And my main point is I want to encourage you, I want to encourage me in 2018. We all have this, not goal, we all have this thing in mind. If God allows me, or if God allows us, we will work hard to be a doer of God's word. And let me give you quickly why. There are four reasons. I come up with four reasons. And the first reason, if you have your Bible, you can turn to James chapter 1. Just take a look at verses 23 and 24. You already know the first reason. Why? It's because in James' word of explanation, he said that anyone who listens to the word but does not do what it says is like someone who looks at his face in a mirror and after looking at himself goes away and immediately forgets what he looks like. It's sort of like asking you, I'm not going to ask you to raise your hand, but think about what was the title of the message last week. Okay, if you remember the title of the message from last week, good for you. For whatever reason, I don't know why, you remember it. But the chances, the truth is, usually we forget. And for those of you who can remember the title of the message from last week, can you remember where does that message coming from? Which part of the Bible does the message come from? Chances are, we all forget. So this is what James is saying. If we just being hearers of the word, immediately, he used the word immediately, we will forget. And that is not good for our life. That is not good for our relationship with Jesus. That's why we need to go a little bit further. That's why James suggests, even though he didn't say, you know, listening is good, hearing is good, I say this, I'm sure he will agree that it is important, it is good, but hearing alone, listening alone, it's not enough. You need to do more. We need to do more. Okay. Reason number three. I was surfing on the net yesterday, and I came across this famous athlete in North America, and someone has made sort of like a video for him entitled, I'm not going to mention the name, okay, this person's 10 rules of success. So based on this athlete doing tremendously well in the league, in North America, and someone has sort of dissect him or analyze him and come away with 10 rules for success. And the number 10 rules for success for this guy is actions speak louder than words. You have heard of that before, right? Actions speak louder than words. That is one of the rules for his success. Don't talk too much. Just do it. If you do it, people can get it. A lot of time, we are the opposite of what this rule is saying. We talk a lot, but there's nothing or little to show forth. And that is our problem. But if we follow this, this is not from the Bible, okay? This guy is a Christian. This guy is a Christian. But nobody said that this action is coming straight out from the Bible. But one of the rules for success for this person is actions speak louder than words. And it is something that I think we need to take heed if we want to see improvement. Reason number three. At the end of the day, according to Matthew chapter 7, verse 21, I don't have that on the slide, but you can write that on your notes. Matthew chapter 7, verse 21. At the end of the day, When we face Jesus, there's going to be only one thing that he's going to ask us. And if you look into this Bible verse, this is what Jesus said. Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but only he who does do or does the will of my Father who is in heaven. Okay? So you already know the final test question way ahead before you left this place. You already know what is the final test is going to look like, spiritually speaking. So if you already know what the test will be, how are you going to prepare yourself? How are we going to prepare ourselves? That is not the worst. The worst is the last one. Matthew chapter 23, verses 1 to 3. This is what Jesus said. I believe he said this to his disciples, but I suspect he was saying this in front of a lot of people. So not only his disciple heard it, but a lot of people heard it too. And this is what Jesus said. Then Jesus said to the crowds and to his disciples, the teachers of the law and the Pharisees sit in Moses' seats. That means they are at the position of teaching. In the Bible time, when a person sits, that is a position of teaching. Whereas today, the position of a teacher is standing. In Jesus' time, the position of a teacher was sitting. Okay? So both the Pharisees and the teachers of the law, if you translate that today, would be the elders and the deacons and the pastors, okay, the bishops, okay, they are the one whom God has entrusted the responsibility to teach. Okay? So Jesus said, the teachers of the law and the Pharisee sit in Moses' seat. So you must obey them and do everything they tell you. That means when the teachers, when the elders, when deacons and the pastor and the bishop teach you in a position of teaching you the word of God, you must listen, you must obey. But then Jesus didn't stop there. He continued to say, but do not do what they do, for they do not practice what they preach. If I tell you, if Pastor Lim is teaching you from the word of God, you must obey. But do not do what he does, because he does not practice what he preaches. Or you can add one of the elders' names, the leader's name, or maybe you can add the name of this church. How shocking it would be. That is even more frightening than the final question, because if we are not doing it well now, there's no chance we'll do well when we face the final test. That is the frightening part. It doesn't wait until we die and we face Jesus and answer that question. It begins now. How are we doing? Are we like the leaders that Jesus described? Or anyone that like the leaders that Jesus described in his day? We must listen to them, but don't follow them. Why? Because they don't practice what they teach. They say one thing, but they do another thing. So these are the four reasons why I want to encourage all of us to become doers of God's word. Because James' word, hearing is not enough. It's good, it's important, but it's not enough. Listening is good, it's important, it's not enough. You need to go further than that. You can be better than that. You are better than that. And here we go. Let's go. Let's get ready so that we will be able to be the kind of people that James is talking about in his letters. So I only have 2 points to talk about today. Can we have the next slide? Two things. One is, why do we even think about that? Is because, number one, I believe that all of us want to be blessed. I believe there's no one here who say, I don't want to be blessed, I want to be cursed. Or I just want to be normal. I just want to be ordinary. No. You don't know yourself or you're lying. We all want to be blessed. We all want to be better. Because you know that you can be better. With God's help, we can be better. So you want to be blessed. Number two, not only you want to be blessed, God wants to bless you too. Have you ever thought about that? It's not only that you want to be blessed, God wants to bless you too. God has to bless you. Why? Well, we're going to go in and find out why. So these are the main thing. So someone said, you know, isn't it too selfish to say we want to be blessed? Well, you can say that, but I will not use that. I would say this is normal for human being to feel that way. We want to be blessed. We don't want to be cursed. We don't want to be last. We don't want to be less than others, right? In our, whether you're talking about your spiritual attitude or your sinful, fallen attitude, we don't want to be looked upon as we are not as good as others. We want to be blessed. We want to be ahead. We want to be as close to God as possible. And some, if someone say this is just sinful, this is not good, well, it may not be. It may not necessarily be sinful, because the idea and the desire to be blessed is also created by God. The desire comes from Him. And if you say, I want to be blessed by God, that is, I don't see anything wrong about that. So, and if you take a look at, going back to James chapter 1, if you take a look at verse 25, 25 tells you in public, in black and white, okay? And this is what James said, but whoever looks intently into the perfect law that gives freedom and continues in it, not forgetting what they have heard, but doing it, they will be blessed in what they do. There's nothing hidden about what we'll do if we follow His advice. Everything is clearly spelled out in His word. And in this verse, in this particular verse, James is saying that if we're not just having this idea of being a doer of God's word, but if we just take that idea and put it into practice, the result is just as clear. You will be blessed in all you do. Get that? God is already telling you, I want to bless you. And this is going to be the outcome. If you follow what James tells you, if you do what James tells you, this is the result that you can expect. Not only that, throughout the entire Bible, whether you're talking about Old Testament, New Testament, God has been saying the similar thing again and again and again and again and again. So many times that you only need to go to the Bible and you'll be able to see it so many, 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 many times. And I only have time for one, but I have three references. Oh, I didn't have the three. Okay, let me give you the other two references first. I have two more references from the Old Testament, just in case we want to balance things out. The first reference is from Joshua chapter 1, verse 8. You can just write it down, okay? Joshua chapter 1, verse 8. The second reference, also from the Old Testament, is Deuteronomy 6, 1 to 3. Deuteronomy 6, 1 to 3. But what I have on the screen is from John chapter 13, 15 to 17. The background of the verse is Jesus stood out, put a towel on himself, pour some water into the basin, and start washing the disciples' feet. That is the background, okay? I'm going to read to you from John 13, 15 to 17. And this is what Jesus said, his own word. I have set you an example that you should do as I have done for you. Very truly, I tell you, no servant is greater than his master, nor is a messenger greater than the one who sent him. Now that you know these things, they knew it by seeing it, they knew it by hearing it. Jesus said, now that you know these things, you will be blessed if you do them. Again, if you do what Jesus said, if you do what James said, if you do what the Bible teaches us, the end result is so clear. It's there. And you don't have to have doubts. And even if you have doubts, you can always go back to the Bible and flip the Bible to one of these references. You will be reminded again. You will be encouraged again by what God has already said He would do to you. So, you want to be blessed? The Bible is full of examples. of how you will be blessed. But the underlying point is just simple thing. Not simple, but just one thing. Not many things, one thing. Do what it says. Just do it. Don't worry about whether you succeed or you fail. We don't have time to talk about this. But let me just tell you, when you practice what the Bible teaches you, don't worry about whether you will succeed or you will fail. Because the Bible never said that if you fail, you don't get this. If you have success, you get this. Never. The Bible just said that if you do it. So just focus on the doing part. And then God said, you will be blessed. All right? Second point. Like I said, not only do you have a desire to be blessed, but the Bible also tells you that God is intended to bless you. That is the word, God has to bless you. That means that He has no choice. He has to do this. And you have to scratch your head and ask, why? Why God would bless me? Why God will do this to me? Why God makes such a promise to me? Why God said the same promise so many, many times over so many, many, many years from the Old Testament to the New Testament? He's saying this virtually the same thing. I need to bless you. I have to bless you. I have no other choice. I bless you. Why would God say this? And I get a chance to do a little reflection as I was preparing the message. And I come away with two things I believe why God has to bless us. The number one thing is, do you know that when you put what you hear into practice, you basically spend more time on God's word? Have you ever thought about that? You listen, but from your hearing to the doing, it involves you investing more time into the word of God. Because you cannot do what you don't understand. Remember what James said? You hear, you forget. So you need to revisit again, right? And not only you need to revisit again, you need to go deeper. Why? If you don't understand, how can you do it? Right? Right now, if you're listening to the message, after this message, when you go out to the parking lot, probably you have forgotten 50%, 70% of what I said. But if I tell you, after this message, I'm going to give you 5 questions. If you can answer all 5 questions, you're going to have this reward. Then you suddenly become, oh, okay, I'm going to listen to every single thing that Pastor Nam is talking about. Right? It's totally different. Why? Your attitude is different. You're more focused. And as you're more focused, that means you spend more time. The most precious things in your life is time. Not money. Time. I've already said that in my other messages. I'm not going to repeat myself. So when you spend more time on God's word, that means you spend more time on Him. How would you like people to spend more time on you? Right? It's good. You know, I've been a pastor for so long, and I can tell you one thing. Especially, I hope that you don't take it as I'm teaching you some tricks, but this is my experience. If you spend time with the seniors, the old people, okay? This is my experience. If you spend time, quality time, genuine time, I'm not saying that you spend time, you're doing your phone, okay? If you really give your attention, your time to the senior, and if you do it often enough, my experience is, name anything, they will give it to you. This is my experience. Why? Because usually the seniors are the people that, who will visit them? Well, unless they're sick, or something else, or there's a funeral, maybe you should not talk about funeral on the first Sunday of 2018, a wedding, or reunion. Other than that, who will visit a senior? Right? That's why there's so many seniors in the senior home. Why? Because nobody have time to visit them. They put them in a senior home, somebody will take care of them. So if you really spend genuine quality time on any senior, okay, and do it consistently, my experience is they'll give you everything. They'll give you everything. Meal, money. I'm not teaching you this, okay? Don't quote me, I'm not teaching you, but I'm just sharing you my experience. And the reason why I tell you this is because people are desperate for people paying the attention and time on them. Even though you may be the most introvert person, there's still moments in your life that you want people to spend time on you. May not be all the time, but may not be no time. That means we all want people to spend time on us. Now imagine, you give God your time. Can you see now why He has to bless you? Because the truth is, I have no time for you. I have a test tomorrow. I have this, I have this, I have this. There's so many gazillion reasons why we can tell God, I have no time for you. Or even the time that we give to Him is not quality, genuine time. We're looking at our phone, we're doing this, we're doing that. We give Him the leftover time. But even God said, leftover time is better than no time. So now imagine if you give God your quality, genuine time. What do you think God will respond to you? Sorry, so clear in the Bible. I will bless you. I will bless you. You hear that? That's why God has to bless you, because as you turn from hearing to doing, you have to spend more time. You have to go deeper. And God say, I love it. I love it when my people spend more time on me. Number two, why God has to bless you is because as you go from hearing to doing, you have to love Him in order to do what He tells you. You have to love Him. If you don't love Him, you will not do what He tells you. And I want to add to it. And the things that the Bible, God, or your pastor, your leaders, as long as they are using the Bible to teach you, the things that you receive from the Word is hard. It's not easy. And if you think that it is easy to be a doer of God's Word, well, try it out yourself. My experience is, it's not easy. Why? Because in John 15, verses 18 and 19, Jesus said it so clearly, you're not of this world. If you are of this world, the world will not persecute you. That means if you belong to the world and if you practice what God teaches you, the world will not persecute you. The world will not look down on you. Just look at the kind of response. I'm not doing advertisement on Trump, but I'm just using him as an example. Just remember what happened after he declared to the world, we, the United States of America, is going to move our embassy from Tel Aviv to Jerusalem. Just go back to your internet and search out the kind of response from the world, from your United Nations. It is never easy to practice what God teaches you and put that into practice. It's not easy. It's hard. You have to think about, okay, will people look down on me? Will people quit their friendship with me? Will people stop hanging out with me? Will people that, those of us who have family, will have children, will I lose my income? Where my next paycheck is going to be? Where am I going to end up in terms of work? There are a lot of things to think about. And if you think you are the only thing, no, go back to the Bible. Look at the prophets. Look at Moses. The whole world against him. Even the Israelites were against him. They were at the edge of the Sea of Reed already. God has already told Moses, just stretch out your hand with the staff. And the Egyptians were coming at them. And the Israelites, they were ready to kill him. But then at that moment, Moses did one thing. And he turned around and talked to the Israelites. And he said, the Egyptian that you're going to see right now, you will never see them again. That is, you have to marvel at his courage. The Egyptian were coming at him. In front of him were the sea of Red Sea. And even his own people rebelled against him. He was all alone, plus God. And he has that courage to turn around and say, look at the Egyptians. These people that you're seeing, you will never see them again. And eventually, who was right? Moses was right. He was only one person against the whole world. But he has God on his side. So it's not as easy to practice what God teaches you. But that is exactly the test, because if it is so easy, then you will not be able to see in your actions that you love God. It's not that God doesn't know that you love him or not. Sometimes you need to have that, you need to have that realistic picture reminding you that through what you do, through the practicing of God's word in everyday life, you love God. Do you know that you love God? It is that. So when it is a good time, everybody can say, oh, do this, do that, do this, do that. But it is when it is the darkest time, the toughest time, you stood out and you don't give in, you don't waver. You don't say, okay, if it's a good time, God, to God be the glory. And when you are in the dark time, come on, those are for the good time. That when it is tough, you do whatever you want. Forget about the Bible. Forget about what God said. Forget about what the pastor tells you. This is a different time. So you know exactly in that moment, do you really love God? Do you really love God as you say, as you imagine yourself? God is using a practical, a very practical experience that is your own to remind you whether you love him or not. If you stand your ground, even though when time is tough, then you really show through whatever you do that you love God. And God said, now you know you love me. Or now you know you don't love me as you think, as you say you love me. Jesus said in John 14:15, if you love me, keep my commands. He never said that if you love me, keep my commands when you are in your good time. When things are good, when things are okay. Or you can temporarily not keep my commands when time is tough. He never said that. He only said that, you know, if you love me, keep my commands. Keep my commands. Stand your ground. Doesn't care what the whole world against you. Moses was like that. Jesus was like that. Paul said it in Galatians chapter 5 verse 11. If I don't even stop you guys, if I just allow you guys to have circumcision, the world will not persecute me. If he just stopped doing this one thing, he will not be persecuted that much during his entire life. Do you know that? If he would just give up a little bit, just this time. But Paul said, never. Never in my life. And that's why he was so great. And that's why you can be that great as well. If you don't give up, if you stand your ground, doesn't matter, it's just good time, not bad time, you know, convenient time, non-convenient time. That is how you prove to yourself, not to God. God already knows. You prove to yourself whether you love him or you don't. As you spend more time on him, as you being so immovable because of your love for him, do you now understand why he has to bless you? I don't get the best job, I don't get this. Well, the blessing, nobody said that the blessing come only in material ways. Do you know that to have a good character in some way is better than earning a lot of money? To have a good name. When your name being mentioned, people always say good things about you because of your character. Isn't it more important than just earn a few more bucks? Or you may be earning a lot of money, but when people mention your name, nobody wants to say anything more. You earn your money, but you also lose your credibility. There's no one likes you. No one likes to talk to you. No one likes to hang out with you. No one wants to serve with you. No one wants to do things with you. You like that kind of life? It's time for us to do a little imagination since we're in a new year. And the new year is, why not, like James suggests, and why not we do it together? Let's go from being a hearer of the word to a doer of the word. Let's go. Let's do it. Let's start. Let's do some sharing. Let's learn how we can do it. Let's share our experience. Even when we fail, let's come back and let everybody know how we fail miserably so that people can learn from you. Or when you have success, let's go back to your church and go back to your group and tell everyone about how you are so succeed about the, so that through your sharing, others will be benefited too. And together, let's this church in 2018 to be remembered that this is not a talking church. This is not a church of talkers. This is a church of doers. We all have one thing that we all agree. Let's do it. No matter how tough it is, let's do it. Let's see as we put what we know into practice. Let's see in a new year how great this church can become with the help of God. Let's pray. Father, we want to praise you. We want to thank you for this opportunity. We thank you that, Lord, you are here. You're the earliest one here. And you're the last one to leave. This is who you are. And I want to thank you for this opportunity that we can take a quick look at what James is really talking about to us. About what we can be. What you imagine us to be in this new year. And I pray, Father, that as we take time to reflect, to think about, to talk about all the things that we have just heard, you will give us the desire, you will give us the energy and the determination to do it not only alone, but to do it as a church, so that we will be known, at least in 2018 and onward, that this is a church, Christ Church of doers. This is who we are. This is what we want to be. And with your help, God, lead us there. Lead us there so that we can see great things. We can have so many great things to tell people because you're great. And as we follow you, you will also allow us to experience great things with you. We look forward to what will happen to us. We don't know the future. But we all do. We all know one thing, according to your word. If we do what you tell us to do, blessings will be ahead. Your blessings will be ahead waiting for us. That we have nothing enough to contain how you're going to bless us in this year. We look forward to that. And we want to thank you in advance for that. And we pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen.